so.
Baby, all I wanna do is give you that life. You gonna love it by the end of the night.
Hey, and we're back. Episode, what is this? 22?
You always ask me and I never know.
I don't even know why I have you here with me. You're not a good co-host.
I don't know why you ask me.
You don't never know.
This show wouldn't be nothing without me.
Okay, whatever you say.
How is it going to be couples therapy if it ain't no couple? Can whatever. You not chew ice in front of the mic? Are you kidding me right now?
Anyway, so we're back. Episode 22. And
oh my
we got
God.
Some hard-hitting topics here. Ain't no sadness going on.
So unprofessional.
Ain't no bad situations or anything like that we have to talk about. This is all love and all beautiful living and clean living life and all that good stuff, right?
Clean living life. What does that mean?
I don't know. I just made it up. Anyway,
okay.
Couples Therapy Podcast, episode 22. I'm going to just go on a limb. It says 22. I believe it's 22.
I don't know.
And we on our journey to 25. I feel like 25 is going to be a milestone. We got to do something good. Like that stuff.
For 25?
Yeah. That's
what about 50?
Then it's going to be another milestone. 75 and then
25 is not a round number, though. It's not divisible by 10 without having a remainder.
Do they have silver anniversaries?
What is that?
25. See, that's why I know you don't know anything about the number 25.
It's the two.
Did you celebrate your 25th birthday like it was something important?
No, I celebrated my 25th birthday by crying in the closet.
I didn't mean to bring that up.
I had a quarter life crisis.
Anyway.
So 25 means nothing to me other than tears.
What did we say
sadness.
Last time on your birthday? Beast alternative, see or no?
It does, but I also want to be a millionaire and I have to go to work. So
that's something that's feasible. You can get that.
I guess.
Anyway, keep striving. Yeah, so we're gonna start it off. It was just Easter.
Yeah.
Easter.
No, we're actually going to start
Sunday
it off
memories.
By letting them know that there will be no YouTube video to go with this
product. Oh, true.
To this audio.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it just works better. I feel like it's going to work better once we get our new camera. It's a lot of behind the scenes that goes on when trying to do it with a camera phone. It's a lot. And it's a lot of uncertainty and editing on the audio side unnecessary.
It's not unnecessary. I don't feel like it's unnecessary. I feel like you just don't want to
do
it.
You don't feel like it's unnecessary because you ain't got to do it.
I feel like you just don't
want to
do it.
It ain't about me not wanting to do it. It's about the fact that I'd rather do the video when we ain't got to worry about... It's not even the editing. It's while we're recording that's the hardest part because you guys, we have to stop our show like 6 times sometimes when we're recording
the video.
Do
you think that's because we don't have iPhones?
Hmm?
Do you think that's because we don't have iPhones?
I don't know.
I feel like I hear your brother in my head like, that's what y'all get for being team Android.
I mean, of course he's going to say it. He say that anytime. He says that anytime about anything. Like, I could stub my toe. He'd be like, oh, that's because you got that sorry ass Android.
Well, no, also part of the reason is because your work schedule changed. So you don't even have the time, amount of time to dedicate to splicing and...
Even though I did a really good job on that last video, I was kind of proud of myself.
You couldn't tell where the pauses were.
Right.
So, yeah, we're going to get a camera, then we'll get back to it. Other than that,
yeah, so that's our next investment, guys.
Enjoy us with your ears.
But you guys said, and I've gotten feedback, that the new equipment sounds great. We appreciate the feedback. We really worked hard towards getting this new equipment and providing you guys a better overall sound and package and product. So the next step is the camera.
All right, moving on.
Oh, don't forget to follow us on our socials, Instagram, Couples Therapy Podcast. Very, very important. We're always posting good things and our little days out on the weekends and everything like that. We had a nice little weekend last weekend, right, babe?
Yeah, it was cool.
Bro, them shrimp thingies, what were they called? Shrimp jammers?
Can you not say scrimp? Because that's why I felt
shrimp
like he was
jammers.
Going. Maybe your list got in the way.
Do you remember the shrimp jammers or not, Brittany?
Yeah.
Golly, you over here just always trying to... I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
I'm having a conversation
no,
with
you. No, you're
me.
Not. You're over here worried about me saying scrimps. If I say scrimps, I say scrimps. Black people say scrimps.
We're not your average black people.
Brittany, never mind. I'm not even going to go there with you. I'm not even about to go there with you. You swear up and down you're somebody different. You're a black girl at the end of the day.
Have you seen my hair?
Exactly. So don't try to fight it.
I'm not fighting it. Anyway. I just am educated enough not to be walking around saying scrimps.
Just because you say scrimps don't mean you're not educated. You do it for the comedic value.
It annoys me.
All right. Don't be annoyed, nigga. Anyway. We're not gonna do this right now. We're gonna get through a podcast. We're not going back and forth with each other, okay?
How about that?
Right. Like, we're trying to live our best life. We was eating scrimps. That was divine, goddamn it.
They were delectable.
What was it? It was like a Monterey Jack and jalapeno stuffed. It was almost like a jalapeno popper, but it was shrimp in it.
Yeah. So good.
I ain't gonna lie. I was thinking about I looked up a recipe on Pinterest to see how we can make them.
No. I don't think that's good. I think we should just go there for it.
That's why I can't wear her. I just can't, y'all. I can't. Why can't I try to make it?
Because of the way that it's made. So, like, when you take shrimp and you bread it, the way that...
So, they can do it, but you don't think I could?
Can I finish my statement? You always trying to guess what I'm about to say. Listen, when you take shrimp and you dip it in the batter and you fry it, it's flaky like fried chicken. What they had is, like, the shrimp and the cheese were wrapped in something, and then that itself was fried. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, but all it was panko, Brittany. So they butterflied the shrimp. I already got it figured out because I know how to cook. So they butterflied the shrimp. Uh-huh. They injected it. They put it in. They didn't inject it, but they. I was looking at a jalapeno popper recipe where they used a piper. And they
inside of the jalapeno.
But the shrimp, they butterflied it, put the cheese stuff inside of it. And basically all you got to do is just fold the, if you get big enough jumbo shrimp, you can just fold it back together. You roll it in an egg, dip it in flour, put it back in the egg, put it back in the panko breadcrumbs, back in the egg, and you double bread the panko to make it that crispy crust.
Was it?
The flour is going to coat it around it, and then the panko is going to coat on top of it again.
I understand that. But I'm saying, were those shrimp big enough?
Pick it up.
I'm about to say, I can't read lips. Were those shrimp big enough to fry like that?
I mean, it had to be somewhat. Somewhat big enough, because they did it.
Yeah. But then again,
I mean, they might have just bought them like that. Who knows? But I feel like we can make those, though.
I'm thinking they was like...
Maybe they ain't have no wonton around them or nothing like that.
I didn't think they had a wonton around it, but I think they was manufactured.
Right, well...
It ain't like they was making them the order.
People made jalapenos from scratch before they commercialized it.
Jalapeno poppers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, if y'all think y'all can do it. Let me know how it come out, because... It was really, really good. It was really, really good. Huh? I mean, we just gave them the whole recipe. Shoot.
Anywho.
But anyway, though. Yeah, moving on.
Yeah.
Drinks was good. We was litty, but it was really fun, though. So let's go on to Easter, because you know we like to hit the holidays up.
That was Saturday. So Sunday was...
Easter Sunday.
Easter.
We like to segue into our holidays, because they always line up when we record. So we're not going to talk about Easter speeches this year or funniest thing that ever happened on Easter. Because you already know I fell out the car on Easter Sunday.
Lord,
know
he just had to bring it up.
I'm just saying, everybody remember. If you didn't remember, now you remember.
It was Go back and
listen to the episode if you don't remember.
That was two episodes ago.
It really wasn't. It was about 10 episodes ago now. It was a whole year ago, Brittany. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Anyway, but what we are going to talk about, my friend Butter, this mug... Literally, I was on me and my other brother, we were playing the game.
Why you refer to him by the name they don't know him as? Because he was on the podcast.
For all y'all don't know, that's my friend, my best friend, Greg. We call him Butter. All of us have nicknames. The one time you want somebody to use their real name, Brittany.
Because he was on episode 2 when they were in town.
I hear you. My best friend, Greg, a.k.a. Butter, was on the phone with us. And he going to say something, y'all get y'all Easter edge ups. And me and my brother bust out laughing. Like, nigga, what are we, 5? Like, this nigga asked us if we got our Easter cut. Like, he asked us if we got our Easter vest.
Some adults still get dressed for Easter.
Yeah, I know. But it was just funny, though, because I just haven't... It just brought up a nostalgic moment Because we were just like, dang, bro. Like, we used to really, like, that Saturday before Easter Sunday used to be crazy at the barbershop. Crazy. Like, I know Vail, because Vail, low-key, when I was there, my barber, by the way, Vail, when I was at the barbershop 2 weeks ago, he was like, boy, I can't wait for 2 weeks from now. He was like, yeah, it's about to be crazy. That's his money day. Like, Easter, that's when he gets his bread, you know what I'm saying? So, or Mother's Day, things of that nature. So I was just, it took me back to it. Like, I was just having a real nostalgic moment, man. Like, what about y'all? Because I know they had that little meme about the little hot comb. Does that bring back some nostalgia to you guys?
Yeah, but I don't really remember it.
How do you not remember the hot comb? You don't remember any significant moments in your life.
Okay, this is the thing about me and Easter. Easter is not a big holiday for me, for real. Because I go to church every week.
This is true.
Like, people were like, I got to go out. I got to get an outfit. I got to get some shoes. I got to do X, Y, and Z. And it's because it's just not a thing for me because I go all the time.
I was going to say, as I got older, that was the Sunday that me and my mom did not go to church.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like that. If I didn't have to sing, I wouldn't have went.
Yeah, because that'd be the week where the parking is
packed.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's
packed. They got to bring the overflow chairs. You got random people that you ain't never seen in your life.
And I'm not knocking people who go to church on Easter and just Easter. Like, get it how you live. I'm just saying.
Get it how you live.
I'm just saying, for me, like, that would be the Sunday that I would be like, all right, got to be with the melee.
Right. But I ain't gonna lie, though. It was some very memorable Easter Sundays, like, as far as preaching. I feel like that was always the Sunday, that and Palm Sunday, where my pastor used to, like, shut it down.
He did his good preaching.
I swear to goodness. Or he'd, like, sing a song that it'd bring a thug tear out of me. Like, it'd just break me down. Like,
I think my first solo was on Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Mine was, too.
And this is the only Easter I remember. I got a gift basket from my godmom, and I think it was her that bought me two Easter dresses. They were the exact same dress, but one was pink and one was blue. And I had to decide which one I wanted to wear. And then my mom was like, you can wear the other one later, whenever. But I think I wore the pink one, and then I sung my solo that Sunday. And
what was your solo?
He is the Great I Am.
Oh, yeah, I was singing some big music. I was singing it's me, oh Lord, standing in the
That was my very first solo. I was 8.
My very first solo was not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Literally. Like, they had 3 of us and we would just go.
It was a whole youth choir. Like,
yeah.
My childhood church, it was like one of those neighborhood churches where there was two hoods on opposite sides of the street. And they, everybody in that area went to our church, and they had a lot of activities and stuff for kids. So we could literally just walk from where we lived up to the church. It probably took you about 10 minutes to get there. If that, I don't think it was 10 minutes, but like, we just used to walk in groups. And that's the only real. Oh, I remember an Easter where it rained, and we had to have the Easter egg hunt inside of the house instead of outside in the backyard. And I remember everybody, like, we keep a count of how many eggs and stuff we have, so that we'll know if everybody found them all.
Speaking of Easter egg hunt,
and I remember the count being off, and then somebody was like, oh yeah, I hit one in the mailbox. And it was because our mailbox out there was in your door.
Mm-hmm.
So your door had a little gold slab that folded up where you open it and they can put the mail in it, and you open it from your side and put the mail in it. So if your screen door was locked, when the mailman came, you just ain't getting the mail that day. But somebody had set the egg inside of the mailbox and forgot that it was in there.
Speaking of Easter egg hunt, your family. So we spent Easter with the Kellys. First off, her family is huge, yo. Like, really, really huge. Like, really, really huge. But anyway, we have fun. But I will say this. Her family had an Easter egg hunt, and it made me kind of mad. Because I was sitting there, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, Easter egg hunts, we used to get some raggedy old eggs. They literally was putting money, candy, all type of stuff in the plastic.
Oh, it wasn't always that way? You ain't hear my brother say that?
It was always that way for me growing up. We always had just raggedy eggs.
You didn't
boiled eggs.
You didn't hear my brother say that?
No. Your brother young, though.
My brother is 5 years younger than me, but he was like, yo, where was our money in the eggs? We would dye our eggs. I don't know when my family switched up. I think it was just kind of like when my cousins started having kids and there wasn't a lot of kids. I mean, there is now because we have family and friends and stuff and more of them have children. But I don't even remember what year they started just like being tired of dying the eggs. And then you would make some lucky eggs. But the way you would do it was, I think you counted how many they had. So a person with the most eggs would get the prize. And then I think the person with the least eggs sometimes got like a consolation prize. And then it would be the person who found the 3 lucky eggs, they would get whatever. So as a way for everybody to get something, they started doing plastic eggs and it has candies and money. Sometimes it'd be like $5.
It was more price efficient just to have a first, second, and third place or fifth place.
I mean, not necessarily, because even though some of the eggs had money in it, it'd be like 50 cents here, 50 cents there.
Yeah, add up.
Right, shoot. But that's stuff that the adults have.
Royal Rumble out there.
That's stuff that the adults have in their change jar. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, granted, you can save it up over a year or whatever the case is.
Yeah. And then if your kid is participating, I'm pretty sure you like chip in the pot.
Well, all I know is
they was lit.
I seen grown adults get put in timeout.
Yeah.
They were low key more hype about it than the kids was.
That happened.
And it was just hilarious. It was hilarious. The kids were just out there having a good old time. The parents were so competitive. So competitive.
And that's why people was getting upset. They was like, y'all messing it up.
Messing it up everywhere. Exactly, bro.
The lucky egg that we had.
Got too full and it just bust a hole in the bottle and all the kids just went scurrying for it. I saw more adults jump in the pile than the little kids.
No, they weren't trying to jump in. They were trying to pick them up so the other kids wouldn't take them.
You didn't think I knew that, Brittany. It was just the fact that they jumped into it to help them out. I'm just like, let them.
Anyway. Because I mean, all my cousins was about to take his eggs. But the funny part about it was,
one thing I could say about your little cousins, they literally were like, anytime someone would see the egg before them, but they picked it up or whatever, they would just give it to them.
Yeah.
I did see that.
It's no need to fight over it.
Because everybody was getting eggs. And everybody had a million eggs.
I'm about to say, how many eggs did we put out? It took us like how many minutes to hide all of them? Like 5?
We're talking about eggs in the cooler. Eggs in the pocket of lawn chairs and
they
stuff.
Where they put the egg in the tree. My dad got a ladder and put the golden egg in the tree, nestled like a bird in a nest, mm-hmm. to see if anybody was gonna get it. And that's what caused a lot of the confusion, because one of my older cousins, who's around my age, he's a little bit older than me, told one of the kids where the egg was at.
And then, in the tree.
And then when we asked her, like, we saw him tell her, but I don't think her mom saw it. So we took the egg from her and we rehid it. And then my uncle ended up telling the other kid where the egg was, because he ran from where he was standing at straight to the egg. And then we said, who told you where it was? Uncle so-and-so. Like, I cannot tell a lie. They did not lie. So they were like, well, nobody get it. Since the adults want to mess it up, nobody get the golden egg.
They couldn't help themselves. But it was fun,
and that egg had gift cards. And
it was a big egg.
It was huge. I don't even know where you get a big plastic egg like that for. I never seen that.
Walgreens.
That just looked like the golden goose egg from Willy Wonka.
Yeah, well, you can get that anyway, though. But anyway.
Yeah, but all the kids still had fun regardless.
Anyway, boy, that nigga was typecast. You know we watching BET right now, y'all.
Yeah.
And they got white chicks on.
Terry Crews coming out there.
And I ain't gonna lie, the movie is funnier without the sound.
It is because so it's watching them the white girls'
faces. Oh my god, it's hilarious.
Mannerisms. What we got for what we already did back in my day. What's the next up, babe?
Couples therapy. Like, we really had a hard time with this one, but we came up with a good topic, and it stems from
your belief.
One of my coworkers at work, we had a really good discussion.
He been changed, y'all.
I ain't gonna lie. Okay, so just to give y'all some background on it, I think I can speak for every male in America, black or white or any color or any race for that matter. We never understood what the hell closure meant when a girl said, I just need closure. I just need closure. I always thought that was some shit that they just made up, and I never understood what it meant. But lo and behold, when my coworker, she's a little older, when she broke it down for me, it was my first time understanding what closure meant. And I'm like, that makes so much sense. So now I actually know what it means now. But to break it down, what our conversation was, I don't know how we got on this topic. I was at lunch and I was just trying to warm up my food. And next thing I know, she came over and we just started talking. Next thing you know, she's talking about... Anyway, so she was saying closure. She was talking about how one of her... I can't remember what it was. It was like one of her nieces was dating this guy that she... she was dating this guy, essentially. And somehow we got on the topic of she was bringing... All right, long story short. So she was saying something about how a guy, and she actually brought it onto herself though, but she was talking about how a guy that she was dating before still would try to call her up and hit you with the, I miss you, and still try to hit it and all that stuff. And she was telling me how majority of the time guys can do that for a certain period of time, usually like a year or a year and a half or so after the breakup, because the girl hasn't gotten closure over that relationship. And generally speaking, once they get that closure, then when you hit them with that, I miss you, hey, big head, or come see me, or I'm about to come through, because you know you're just trying to hit or whatever the case is, you can't do that anymore because now she's had proper closure over the relationship. And that's when it made sense to me when she put it into that context, because I was just like, it is always that little period, window of opportunity, yeah, where after the breakup, you still know that you can go in and get what you want, hit it a couple more times, da 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 da. And I always just thought it was just one of those situations where you just still got it. Like, we still just have that bond and that chemistry with one another. But when she said something about closure, I was like, yo, that kind of makes sense, because now, granted, my sense of closure was always when a girl just had a kid. I know that sounds messed up, but whenever a girl had a kid, that was it for me. I was like, well, that's the closure. Like, that's done. Because now I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, she has too much responsibility to be thinking about me.
So, but that's not closure on her end. That's,
I know,
closure,
it's not closure
on your end.
But usually by that time, when I hit her with the, you miss me, she'd be like, nigga, I ain't been thinking about you. And it makes sense to me now. Because I'm like, well, you got a whole kid now. So I guess, I mean, that makes sense.
I guess I checked that
off my little Rolodex, you know what I'm saying? But in between that time, when a girl didn't have no kid and you break up with them, it's that first couple months or whatever the case is, you hit them with that, you miss me, dad, hello, whatever the case is, then next thing you know, like, I got action, we in there, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like also a girl controls that as well, about allowing a guy to come in or whatever case is. Is that part of the closure process? Like, you haven't had full closure on the relationship, so that's why you still have that window there? It made sense for me with that explanation.
I mean, it does. In my experience and from what I know, okay, hold on. I'm distracted. Can you still hear that?
What?
The TV?
Maybe. Hand me the remote.
I thought I muted it all. I turned the soundbar off. God dang it. This one?
The other one.
Oh, the actual TV remote. Y'all know black people got 50 million remotes for one TV.
I can't hear it.
I can.
And this is not even on, so I don't know what you're hearing.
Okay.
I think you just know what they're saying and you kind of like subconsciously hear it.
Yeah. Anywho, from my experience, closure is basically what a person needs, or most often girls need, to kind of just like
close the chapter.
Yeah, but to also be like, okay, this is the end. And like, I don't know how to explain it, because to me, closure depends on the situation. Sometimes closure could be a conversation that you have with somebody. Sometimes closure for you could be an action. Like, most of the time, the dudes that I've dealt with, closure came in the form of you doing something unforgivable to me. Mm-hmm. And then there were other times where closure just came in the form of, there's nothing about you that is attractive to me. And then sometimes closure came in the form of, we literally just grew apart, and I want to let you know that there's no hard feelings, but no.
That's the type of closure that always made me roll my eyes.
What?
When a girl says, hit you with a, well, have a good life, and
it don't,
I
even
wish
have
nothing
to be,
but the best for you.
Like, it don't even have to be like that. It don't like, have to be like that.
Bro, spare me that, because you don't wish the best for me.
It don't even.
You don't hope I have a good life. Like,
to me, that's not the closure. Okay, so.
But usually that's what girls time, will say when they quote unquote have closure.
No. The time that I remember sending that to somebody, I knew it was just me saying that to piss them off.
Right. And I feel like you still got feelings for someone when you say that.
But closure, the way, like,
in the realistic sense of
real closure is, you don't necessarily have to have that conversation.
Right. And I feel like the real closure just come with time.
Yeah. It could come with time. And like I said, it can come with some unforgivable stuff. Like, the dude who I was dating, who had a girlfriend the whole time we was dating, after I had a conversation with her and we talked and basically were like, this is when he, like, we literally had a 3-hour in-depth conversation. That was my first time ever, like, talking on the phone with a girl comparing notes about a guy that we were both dating.
Oh, God.
I had never.
You did that? Oh.
Because I snitched.
She called and asked you what's
she
going
found
on.
Out about me.
Yeah.
And called and asked to, like, she was, I could tell by the way she.
Who are you?
When she answered the phone. Like, when I answered the phone, I could hear the attitude in her voice. And I was like, hello? Is this Brittany? I was like, yes, may I ask who's calling? She was like, my name, I don't even remember her name. She's like, my name is such and such, and I found some text messages from you and my boyfriend's phone, and I just wanted to let you know that he got a girlfriend. And I was like, wait, excuse me, what? And I think when I said it like that, she was kind of taken aback, but also apprehensive that I was just like lying and pretending like I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when she said it, she was like, oh, you want to act like you didn't know he had a girlfriend? I was like, we've been dating for a whole year now. Like, no, I did not know he had a girlfriend. She was like, well, we've been dating for 6 or 7 years on and off. And I'm just like, well, shut my mouth and shoot me. I was like, I had no clue. And I guess she could tell the genuine shock in my voice. Mm-hmm. And we ended up sitting on the phone for hours talking. And then literally, like, while we were on the phone, he came back to the house because I guess he stormed out and left. And I could hear him ask her, you still on the phone? And she was like, yes, I am. Bye. And you could hear him close the door and leave again. So we sat and we talked for, like I said, like 3 hours. And then the next day, he ended up texting me and he was like, hey, I need to talk to you.
Boy, do you.
And I text him, no, you don't. It's all good.
Oh, you already had the closure?
And that was it. Because what else do I need? What can you possibly say to me when I spent 3 hours on the phone with your girlfriend giving her everything she asked for?
She ain't had to be telling the truth.
Who, the girlfriend?
Mm-hmm. What she got a lie for?
I could tell that she was telling the truth. Because with some of the stuff that I was saying, she was shocked as well.
Anyway, I mean, I get it.
But that was the closure.
I'm different, I guess, because I don't know. I think guys have closure in different ways. Like, I don't think I ever got, if that's the case, then I never got proper closure over any of my relationships. But time just hit me with the, it ain't going to never happen. It ain't going to ever happen. You know what I mean? But it has been previous relationships I had with girls where it was all like maybe one or two where we always had that type of tension when we was there in the room with each other, wherever we weren't with each other no more, or we had another, you know, situations or whatever the case
is. What kind of tension? Like y'all was still attracted to each other?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's something I feel like that's never going to change, at least with that one person, but it is what it is.
I feel like everybody has that one person that is just like, y'all energy is just so intertwined that no matter how many years go by, no matter who else you with, like, you could still feel it. But to me, A, you don't have to act on it. B, you just, you know, like, that ain't what you need in your life. And that's like when we first talked about closure, like a long time ago, I think it was your ex and she kept calling, like when we first started dating. You remember that?
Yeah.
And she would call all the time. You would either ignore her call or you would wait for me to go to sleep and answer. I guess
who told y'all to wait to go, no, to, I'm go saying, to sleep?
I guess try not, like, not out of disrespect, but just like not trying to have drama.
Yeah.
Because I literally remember laying on the couch and she was calling. It was almost.
I remember we was in an airplane and she did that shit.
Yeah, she did call when we was that Thanksgiving. But I remember being at your old apartment, laying on the couch, and she called. And I was, I don't know, I was in and out of sleep. The phone kept ringing, you kept ignoring. And I'm like, just answer it and talk to the girl. Like, she irking my nerves now. She not even trying to talk to me. And you looked at me like, is this a trick? That's how I feel like you looked at me.
I looked at you like, you don't know what this conversation is going to consist of.
You had told me that she would call you drunk. She would be crying.
I don't even think she would be drunk. She was just hysterical like that. Like, she, everything was woe is me. It's the end of the world. Like, I'm going to kill myself. Shit like that. The girl was crazy.
But what was agitating me was the fact that she kept, I was trying to go to sleep. She kept calling.
I mean.
So I'm like, just talk to her. Just give her the closure.
Because you would have been mad had me and her been on the phone. And 3 hours has passed by, and I'm saying the same thing to her. Your ass went like, the nigga just don't want you. Hang up. You would have said some shit like that.
I feel like I did at one point.
Did you answer the phone when I wasn't watching?
No. No, I mean, I feel like that's how I felt after she kept calling. But at that point, that was like the second or third time that I was around when she called.
It happened a lot.
But my thing was just like, from my perspective, it was like, okay, this is a girl who needs closure because I guess she found out that you dating somebody else. And she just wants closure. So I'm like, give it to her. As a female, I understand what it's like. Because sometimes you be in a relationship, you be like, well, what did I do wrong?
I mean, hey.
This, that, and the third.
Maybe it's necessary because a lot of girls resent me because they didn't.
But then sometimes it's like, it don't matter. But that just depends on where you are.
Me and her, I don't feel like I deserve to give her closure in our relationship because it was so toxic. Like, I could see if it was just one of them
but
things.
But did she think it was toxic?
If she didn't, then she's delusional. And that furthers my case because something is terribly wrong with you if you don't feel like the relationship was toxic. Like, we literally had no problems, but we were still getting arguments. That's crazy. We had no problems. But
maybe
if stuff
that
didn't
was
go
normal
her way,
for her.
If stuff didn't go her way, she would just, and nothing went her way because she was just a pessimistic person. I think if you're pessimistic, bad things happen to you.
So there was never a relationship that you had that you needed closure?
I'm not going to say that. That relationship I probably needed closure from. Because we was together for 3 years. And you know how I feel about my relationships. When I'm in a relationship, I feel like this is it.
But by closure, I mean, did you desire to talk with her about everything that had happened?
No. No, not really. Like, Because I still have a friendship with every girl that I dated. So with her, I don't. She's the only girlfriend I'm not friends with still to this day. So with her now, when I do contact her, I try to talk about it because I'm like, well, I want to be friends with you. This is weird. Not at least being friends with you because I'm not a person that did you wrong to the point where you shouldn't want to talk to me.
Why do you need to be friends with her?
I've always been friends with all my exes, so it's weird for me to not be friends with someone who used to date me. Because I'm just like, if we wasn't friends in a relationship, then...
By friends, you mean just like cool.
Where we... Yeah, not like, this is my buddy. You know I don't have a lot of friends like that, so okay. Let's be 100. We're talking about where we can have a conversation with one another and not be upset. Laugh and joke.
Why would you need to laugh and joke?
Because at one point in my life, we... talk to each other and we were around each other every day. If me and you broke up, Brittany, I would still want to have some type of
friendship. I would not talk to you for real.
I'm not saying just call you and shoot the shit with you.
Oh, okay. Because that's what it sounds like.
No, I'm talking about like if we do happen to contact one another or talk with one another, we can manage a conversation without getting upset and yelling and arguing with each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's unnecessary.
Right. All my exes, all the way to high school, I can do that with, except for her. Which further lets me know that that was a toxic relationship.
I guess.
I mean, you don't have to have what I have. I'm a cool person, so.
I'm cool too, but I just, friends, I wouldn't use that word. Cordial. I could be cordial to my exes. But I ain't calling none up like, yo, I ain't talked to you in a long time. How you doing?
Sometimes I do that. I hit them with the, like we hit each other with happy birthdays every now and then.
I do.
Like, one of my exes is like, we still sending each other like memes and funny shit on Instagram. Not all of them, but just that one, because me and her breakup was different than everybody else. Right. Like, ours was just due to circumstance. Everybody else's was. They did
and that's
shit
why
that
I say the closure part of it also depends on not how deep your relationship was, but the type of bond y'all had in a relationship.
Yeah,
like certain things happen where...
That was my nigga, like, forever.
I feel like you said you've never really needed closure.
I probably did. I'm not going to say I didn't. I said it was probably a few I needed closure on.
But I'm talking about closure in the fact where, like, you desire to talk with this person about certain things. Because that's how it feels as a girl. Like,
oh, nah.
I cannot move on until we had this conversation about why you cheated on me.
Uncertainty about what transpired.
Right.
I ain't never had that.
That's what a lot of girls mean by closure. Like, there was infidelity in a relationship. We need to have a conversation about why you cheated.
I mean, I can see why she want to have closure then. Because her cheating on me was the last fucking straw. But granted, I mean... She may have found out that I did some crazy shit too. So I guess she wanted to find some shit or have that discussion with me so she can point the finger at me and be like, well, I wasn't the only one that cheated. And that's why I didn't want to do that shit with her.
Oh, because you didn't want her the truth?
No, it ain't about the fucking truth. It's about the fact that you still did what you did. Even though what I did, but you still did what you did. So we both were wrong. We don't even have to discuss that. She could tell me that I was wrong.
She just needed to get it out of her system.
That I was wrong, that I did wrong too?
Yeah. That's part of her closure.
I guess. And I felt like we had that conversation before. How many times we got to have that conversation? Until you're satisfied and you feel cool about it. Like, I can move on now.
Because
they want to have that conversation
sometimes.
Until you accept the wrong. And I'm thinking like, she told me that I did wrong. I'm like, yeah, I did. But it wasn't
to her
satisfaction.
But you don't feel remorse.
That's what it is. You want me to feel bad. It ain't happening. Because I'm like, you did what you did too.
But you couldn't say, I'm sorry for cheating on you?
We didn't even need all that.
You didn't need all that. That's what she needed. She needed a sorry.
Well, now she got kids and, well, a kid and that is closure now. That was the closure. That's closure.
All right.
That's closure.
That's funny.
Cause if I hit her with the, hey, what's going on? Miss me, whatever the case is, she gonna hit me with the hell no, no, I don't even think about you. I ain't thought about your ass at all.
Like, so when that day when you came to visit me at my job for lunch and you had found out that one of your exes cheated on you when y'all was together. And you wanting to call and talk to her about it. that wouldn't be considered needing closure?
No, that was me trying to figure out if she was going to tell the truth about it. That wasn't closure because I had already
made up my mind. That was closure.
How's that closure?
Why is there a need to have a conversation with a girl that you are no longer with about anything that happened when y'all was together, whether you just found out about it or not? You needed closure.
I didn't consider that as closure.
You needed closure. If you needed to have, because I remember you asking me, how would I feel if you called her about the situation? And part of me, girlfriend.
But the thing about
wait,
go ahead.
Girlfriend part of me was like, the heck you need to call this hoe for? Friend before we started dating part of me was like, if you need to call her and figure out what's up, then do so. And that's the answer that I went with. Because to me, it won't, like, we won't even, we were just starting, like, to get serious and solidified. But it was also like, I recognize that as you need enclosure to move on. And I want no lingering before me, whatever, to be popping back. I need you to be sure that you're sure that you're sure. You don't consider that needing closure?
My thing was what I got was a rumor. Like, literally, I heard from someone who heard someone from who's heard from someone that this happened. Like, I heard it from three different friends.
But you believed it enough to need validation for it.
Well, I was just like, I'm hearing this. What the fuck is this about?
Why does it matter what it is about? Y'all not together.
I guess. Okay.
You need a closure.
I'm
going to
consider it that. I'm just like, for real, though?
If I was to hear the
I'm in there just like, so when this happened?
If I was to hear any of my exes cheated on me.
Brittany.
Today.
But that's years down the breakup. Literally, we had just broken up probably 2 or 3 months prior to that.
So you start dating me 2 or 3 months after you did
shit
that?
Happened. You, Brittany, I done told you a million times I didn't plan on none
of
that.
I didn't know it was that close.
Look.
I didn't know it was that close.
I'm telling you now.
I mean, it don't mean nothing. I'm just saying I didn't know it was that close. I would have been more apprehensive about dating you had I known it was that close.
It didn't interfere with anything.
No, it didn't. But I'm just saying, because of my past experience, I probably would have been more apprehensive about dating you.
Either way, it was still a new breakup, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And I was just like, for real.
And that's
though?
Still that window where the call, the hey big head text can come through.
Yeah, but it was 770 miles of reassurance for you.
Oh, so that's the reason why?
Brittany, more than anything, at the end of the day, you didn't have to worry about that because it was 770 miles at the end of the day.
That don't mean nothing.
Anyway, don't act like you ain't been that girl.
What girl?
The window girl.
I have, but only.
It don't matter how many times, save it, spare it. But you nonetheless, everybody done did the window.
Yeah.
And I've actually, granted, I be thinking about that shit so many times. Like, still to this day, I think about that shit. I was an idiot. I had a window, and my ass was like, nah, I'm cool. I'm cool.
Why would that be an idiot?
Just hindsight 2020, I was like, I should have took the opportunity. But I'm just like, whatever the case is.
Should have took the opportunity for what? You think you would have been better the second time around?
No, but it was just the opportunity. Y'all That's how guys are.
Y'all baby. Niggas ain't jack. Moving on.
It was the opportunity.
Moving on.
And I turned that shit down trying to be a good guy. But
trying to be, you are a good guy. You're a square and it's okay because I love you.
You got the square, Bruce. Good for you.
What was Bruce not a square?
That's what I like about my Stilo, I guess you could say, or my aura.
Your Virginia persona.
Yes, my Virginia persona is so pristine and clean. Cause
I ain't ran into nobody.
You ain't have
home.
To run into no. And you,
no,
and it was
I'm
so funny.
About,
this
even
is
when
what
I
you
went,
and your mom would
even
like,
even when I went to Michigan with you.
You didn't run into nobody that was. Hold on, but still, even
no,
when
I didn't.
Granted, when me and Butter like when we be having conversations and shit like that. Now, granted, Butter is like my cleanest out of all my friends. So that's one thing. But the people who I did majority of my dirt with was my cousins, Kevin and Marcus.
Okay.
You ain't met them. One and two. So Butter was the clean one out of the group. You didn't meet Lane. You never met Darius. I did dirt with Darius, but not too much. All my dirt was done with my cousin. My brother was in the Army when I was in my like high school, college years. So I didn't really do too much dirt with him, but we do have some stories together, but it was majority him. Demo, when he came over, you heard it. Well, you probably didn't hear us. But if you would have heard our conversation when we was in another room, we was reminiscing about some of the crazy shit that we used to do when we was in college. Like, but even when I was in high school, my persona was quiet church guy. He cool. He just do music. But they will always see me with all these different girls. And they'd be just like, what the fuck? Like, how? And that's always how it's been. Even still to this day. It's plenty of niggas that be like, how the hell did he pull PK? See or no?
They never said nothing to me.
It's niggas that's like that. Oh. But anyway, though, nonetheless.
I ain't never heard that.
Because a nigga got juice. What my nigga Martin say? Tropicana or some shit like that?
I don't remember.
Anyway, moving on. For the culture. Do you want to pay some bills first or no?
Sure, why not?
All right, well, speaking of bit, never mind. I ain't even going to put them on blast like that. But we're working on our journey for the camera, guys, so we got to pay these bills. All right, and we back. Second half of the pod, episode 22. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Couples Therapy Podcast. Always uploading some good things there. Yeah, so what we're going to talk about now, babe, is our For the Culture portion. And we're going to break it down with Real Housewives of Atlanta and NeNe versus Everyone.
What about it?
All right. Well, so essentially, I don't know if everybody watches Real Housewives of Atlanta, but it's a very, very good show, and it's been going on for a very, very long time. I think this is the first time we talked about it on the show.
Yeah. It's crazy, though, because, like, when it first came on...
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch season one or two, I don't think. And then my aunt was telling my mom, like, how funny the show is mm-hmm. and how absurd it is. So I got into it with my mom. And then I kind of fell back out of it. And then I came, like, it's a show that I don't really watch on a consistent basis when I think about it. Like, I might do seasons 2 and 3, not watch 4 and 5, watch 6 and 7, not watch 8, and then this was 9.
As of lately, I've been watching a lot more.
Yeah, consistent. But we watched it 8. But I'm saying, like, I know for sure I probably never seen season maybe 4 or 5.
Maybe there's a lot of seasons too. I haven't seen. I've been watching the more recent seasons.
But you don't miss nothing if you don't watch it.
You don't. That's the funny part. Every time they come out, you can start from the next season and feel like you was there from the jump.
That you knew everything.
Right. Because I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off pretty
and
well.
And especially with the rise of social media, like, mm-hmm. you'll see.
And they do a lot of flashbacks.
The stuff that's happening either. Yeah, they really do. They do a lot of flashbacks, and that's pretty much how they catch you up on a lot of stuff.
But anyway, so NeNe leaks. Her husband, Greg, leaks. He suffers from cancer, now. But he's in remission now? He's in remission. But during the season, he was going through his trials and tribulations of it. And I guess, I'm not going to say I guess, but NeNe didn't know how to really react towards it.
Yeah.
Because, now granted, she says that they were having their troubles before he was diagnosed. But it really hit its head once he was diagnosed and he started going through his treatments. Because she says that he had a lot of attitude and was very grumpy and grouchy with the treatment, which mm-hmm. I mean, come on now, it's cancer.
How do you feel about that though?
About him being grouchy or about her kind of making it all about her, I guess you could say?
I feel like if what she was saying is true about like everything that they portray is not always the truth. As far as, like, him being so laid back and reserved and...
Well, you could tell he wasn't that much throughout the season because he was just being very, very particular and
no, I'm talking about as a person overall. Because she was saying, like, she was like, what y'all don't know is that a lot of times because I have a big personality, it overshadows a lot of the smaller but still significant things that Greg does or says. Like, he's not always this pleasant person that y'all try to make him out to be. And I think it's kind of difficult for people to see that aspect of him or believe that from her, because, like, that's not what we know to be true. Like, this is 9 years of them making you out to be the bad guy. Right. And now you all of a sudden is like, no, I'm not the bad guy here. Like, I'm being mistreated. My friends aren't doing this, that, and the third.
But that's the thing.
It's like being in school. When you built a reputation for being the kid who always doing something, when something happens in the class, it's easy for the teacher for somebody to say that you did it. And the teacher believe it because
this is what you've been consistently known for.
That's your reputation. And that's what I feel like it is with her and why she feel like is...
Well, you totally did a switch up on me. I wasn't expecting you to take it from that angle.
What? No, I'm just saying.
Or that position.
That's why she feels like it's everybody against NeNe.
The crazy thing is, though, outside of just social media in that realm, I feel like all the women were very supportive of her from the jump. But then the more she kept going on and on as they were supporting her, saying it, and making it seem as if she wasn't getting any support.
Right. That's when
everybody was like, well, girl, what more do you want? Like, at the end of the day, this is about Greg, but it seems like you're trying to divert attention from him
to you.
When right now you should be just supportive and understanding that this is what we're going to do to support you. But we want to make any time that they would have functions or anything throughout the season, and Greg was there, they would make it a chore or make an effort to make sure they pay some type of homage to him or gave him some type of acknowledgement that they were praying for him, that they're keeping him in his prayers, right, and want to be optimistic and uplifting for him. And it always made her feel mad uncomfortable and mad jealous.
So seemingly, is it the fact that a person who's used to being the center of attention is no longer the center of attention? You think that that's a thing of it? Because, like, she's used to it being a NeNe show.
But how shitty and of now, a person are you to do that?
And now that you know what I mean? Like, Greg is the one that's sick and battling this thing, and he seems to be this person who's always the voice of reason. He always like, girls shouldn't fight. He'll be like, y'all need to go on an all-girls trip to so-and-so and get y'all, you know, get y'all relationships back in line, back in order. Like, he just seems like the dad, you know, to a lot of situations. And it's like, okay, here's this chick who's just loud mouth, and here's this husband who's going through something. And now the part where she needs him the most, or he needs her the most, she can't even put her ego to the side and let people fawn over him and be whatever.
Right. And it's like, how fucked up of a person are you to just like, I don't even know how to put it. It's so weird because generally,
to try to steal the spotlight.
No, not even that. But generally speaking, men would think that if your husband now is the voice of reason and everyone is respecting his words, and just, you know, showing a lot of love and respect for him, that would make his wife proud to know that this is my husband.
Yeah, like, this is the type of person I married, the type of person who
can captivate people in a time where he is weak, but
right.
They see him as a beacon
people,
of hope.
Yeah, that people wanna be there for him and wanna help take the load off.
And
me,
girl, so you don't have to go through this by yourself because we're gonna keep him in our prayers. And I understand that it's a lot for you. We're here to support you. But every time, and the thing about it that made it worse was she would act out. It wasn't just the idea of everybody was just diverting their attention to him. She would act out for the attention. Then when people get upset with her and be like, yo, why are you acting out? Like, you're going crazy right now. And then she would break down and just say, I'm going through a lot. I need y'all to support me. But I'm like, no, you're acting out because you're a fucked up person. And then once we start calling you out on how fucked up you are, you're going to cry, say that I'm going through a lot. And then we're going to be like, well, we understand. And then we got to support you again. And then you're going to say, yeah, we're not supporting you. It's like, it was just a lot of yo-yo in this season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
And I'm just like, bro.
But that's not new.
It ain't new. She's always done it. And now with the reunions, it just seems like she throwing all relationships to the side. Even when she went in on Marlo, it was weird.
When she going in on Marlo?
You remember when she went in on Marlo at the party? Dinner? Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying at the reunion.
No, at the party. But now her and Marlo, that's her only friend now. She got rid of Cynthia. She got rid of Eva. Candy is not important, according to her.
Right.
She said that shit about 6 times. Yeah, I'm like, girl, whatever. And I'm just, and it's so crazy because out of all the girls on the show, it just seems like Candy the only one that gets it. Because I'm just like even with Cynthia having to explain herself about the situation where Kenya came to the party. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why do you go through explaining yourself?
Because she values that friendship.
Obviously, and in the back of my mind, I know she knows now that Nene doesn't value the friendship. And I'm just
because
whatever.
Like, if you see them,
but she's still fighting for it though.
If
and
you
Apollo
see,
doesn't like shit.
If you see Candy's show that she has on YouTube called "Speak on It," Cynthia was up there and she was just like, "Can I live, girl? What you want the blunt from my veins? Like I gave you everything. I give you anything." So basically, like she's starting to wake up to the fact that this friendship isn't as double-sided, as reciprocated as she thought it was.
And it's funny, because how many seasons did that take?
I mean, I feel like Cynthia knows that Nene is an emotionally insecure person.
So she just accepted it?
And she doesn't, because Cynthia's so secure in who she is, she doesn't mind
playing the back role for someone who feels like they have to be in the spotlight?
Or just playing a person who's super supportive over someone who needs that support. You know what I'm saying?
Nene, I have no sympathy for her. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I tried to look at it in different angles and different ways. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, bro, you're literally
being
fucked up to everyone.
I don't have sympathy for her, but I feel sorry for her, if that makes sense. I feel sorry that...
Pity her.
Pretty much, like, out of all these years of you living, you aren't secure enough in yourself to be...
And you got everything.
Who you are. What does that mean?
It ain't even about getting everything, but I'm more so saying, like, you... And it's the insecurity that every woman on that show almost, especially the ones who are self-made, Nene's technically self-made for the most part, but she still has an insecurity of as if she still has something to prove, one. Well, she feels intimidated by, like, Candy and Cynthia.
You remember watching her Unsung? Her Becoming?
It was called
Becoming.
It was?
That's what's on BET, her, that I was getting mixed up. It's called Becoming. And it's kind of like Unsung, but for people who just...
I thought it was Uncensored or something like that. Okay.
Yes, it is. But what is Becoming on TV One? There's an Uncensored, an Unsung, and a Becoming.
Everything is
on. And they all the same show, basically. But she was talking about how when she was younger, she used to get bullied a lot, and this, that, and the third. And if you see pictures of her when she was young, she wasn't the most attractive girl. She's always been taller. She's always been bigger than other girls. Not necessarily fat, but just like stockier. So to me, all of that still kind of plays into her psyche. Like when you're an adult, you still have sometimes the insecurities of being a child.
That shit, wow. It's hard for me to understand because I even got bullied when I was younger. And I'm just like...
But...
I don't know.
Not everybody's like that. Some people still hold on to those...
childhood scars.
Yeah, and they still feel like they have to prove themselves to somebody. Not necessarily even being bullied, just in a lot of situations. And I feel like that's kind of what it is to her. Like, she still looks in the mirror and sees that unattractive girl from Athens. And pretty much, she used to be a stripper, and then she met Greg, and like,
and in a weird
her
way,
life changed, right?
In a weird way, because then she got to the point where she made it seem like she was ready to divorce Greg, and I'm just like, in a weird way, I'm thinking now, like, I think that she's jealous of Cynthia because she got a do-over. And in a weird way, I feel like she wants a do-over.
I don't, maybe, and then I also kind of think of the fact that from what I know of her story, she met Greg and kind of like got the confidence and the security to go and do things that she wanted to do, but probably wouldn't have been able to do if it was just her and her first son by themselves, like when she was a single mom. Mm-hmm. And now she's kind of with these women. She's kind of with these women who are self-made and did what they wanted to do or got themselves to a certain level by themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eva is a model. That was her and her alone. Cynthia is a model. That was her and her alone. Tanya is in tech. That was her brain and her alone. Candy is a singer-songwriter, all-around businesswoman. That was her and her alone. And then Portia, she started out, you know, a housewife or whatever, but she pretty much
then branched out and made a brand.
Yeah, and made a brand for herself. And you can say that about every single woman
even
on that
Nene
couch.
Did the same thing.
But she Nene did. Had the, when she started out, she had the cushion of Greg.
All of them had some, I'm not going to say all of them had some, but either way, all of them did it in their own way. But at the end of the day, they all still got the same end result. And my thing is, I get what you're saying, because in some form of aspect, the majority of the women that's on the show now are self-made.
Yeah, without a man.
Nene technically is self-made still, even though it's as of recent. Yes, because the show, her being on the show necessarily wasn't because of Greg.
No, but she lived an affluent lifestyle because of him. What was she doing as
far as
business before him?
That's fine. We're not even talking about the, and if that's what she's insecure about, is about the foundation and what it came from, then that's a whole nother story in itself. But right now, all of them are on the same level.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is the, I don't need nobody attitude that she has. Can she honestly say she would be where she was without the help of anybody else?
I get what you're saying, but all of them at some point can say the same thing. Even the self-made ones.
I don't think she can say that in the same way that Candy can say, I sing and
I
write.
I get what you're
music.
Saying. The difference in between having a talent or something that is something that no one can take away from you. Like, say, for instance, Tanya's brains in tech. Can't nobody take that away from her. The songwriting and the singing and everything. Can't nobody take that away from Candy. But in Cynthia and Eva, the modeling, can't nobody take that away from her. But at some point, all of them had to get put on by somebody.
Right. But this is my thing. What I'm saying is I think that was part of her divorce from Greg. Because that was the whole, that was around the Rich B era and her, I get Trump checks and I'm on Glee. Like, and she divorced him and all of this stuff was happening. It was her making it on her own without the help of a man. What I'm saying is she wouldn't be financially what she was before that point without the help of Greg. But every woman on that couch besides Marlo could have made it to that financial status without the help of Greg or without the help of any man.
I get it, but I don't think, I just disagree that that's the issue. I think the issue,
I feel like that's part of her insecurity.
It's probably a part of it. Yeah, it's probably a part of it, but I hope that's not, because that's very little in the grand scheme of things.
Because
you are self-made. You have a brand now, so yeah, either way, you can now sustain yourself.
Yeah, I'm also trying to put myself in the mindset of a person who
is insecure
or regrets the fact that I at one point needed somebody.
Hey, it is what it is. Because at the end of the day, Candy needed JD. And
right, but I'm also, the way that she was saying stuff to Cynthia.
What you mean?
About, like, I've been there for you when you did this, that, and the third. All of that stuff to me says, I don't know how to explain it.
I'm starting to get the idea that she wants a do-over. Like, I feel like she wasn't expecting to go through all this stuff with Greg. No.
It is. It is. Everything's still running. What are you doing? I'm sorry. Bruce.
I just got to make sure I see it because it was so little that I couldn't even see it. It didn't look like it was moving.
I saw the line moving.
I didn't. But anyway, though, it's a situation where now I feel like she wants a do-over because, say, for instance, with Cynthia now, like, she has her brand. NeNe has her brand now. She was able to divorce Peter, go through her little trials and tribulations, and come out on top with Mike Hill now.
But I think NeNe already had the opportunity, and she chose to go back to Greg.
Right, but my thing is, now that she's going through this whole cancer situation and everything, the whole idea of her wanting to, in a weird, twisted way, I feel like she regrets going back to Greg. And she's like, now that I have this new found attractiveness, I have my own brand now, I have this, I have that, I feel like I don't need Greg as much. And I would like to get a do-over and start over. And it's possible for me to get another husband. I feel like when she was going through that divorce with Greg, that was around the same time that Cynthia left Peter and she was still single at the time. See or no?
Who, Cynthia was single?
Yes. Or that was right when they was going through the middle of their mix-up, right?
No, her and Peter were still together.
They were still together? Either way, it goes, the reality of being able to go through a divorce and still end up finding someone else, I think it just became a reality for her when she saw Cynthia.
I don't know.
Or even with Kenya. Her jealousy towards Kenya is similar.
I don't know if it had anything to do with being able to find somebody else.
And look, I she's just insecure. Yeah. And what she's insecure in is really silly because I'm just like, you have your own now. You done made a brand for yourself. Get over it and be more like Candy if y'all want to be more like Candy. Candy don't give a damn about what any of them say. She, granted, she be in everybody's business and can't hold water, but whatever the case.
Is she the new bone collector?
She always used to be. For real, for real. And then Sheree came and like made it a household name. But yeah, that's Housewives of Atlanta. If you don't watch it, watch it. The season's over now, but you can binge it on Hulu, which we are binging a lot of shows on, guys.
Yep. What's up next?
So we can go one or two ways about this. We can talk about how I have fears about canceling my cable.
Fears.
Yeah.
Why?
I have apprehensiveness because it's just like, I'm not going to say fears, it's apprehensive because I've always had it. One. Two, I feel like it's going to break even and I don't want to lose my internet connection.
So, y'all, look, we need second jobs just to pay for all the streaming services that we desire. Because it's like, it's so crazy now because it's like every streaming platform has one thing
that the other one don't
that you want to see. Like, for instance, if we add Showtime to our package just to see
Shy,
we could also be getting Desus and Mero.
Right.
But that's only two things. And then when Power comes back, you're going to want to watch Power so you get HBO. But what else is on Stars. HBO? Probably oh, Stars.
HBO is on Insecure. I'm sorry, Insecure.
HBO is Insecure, but that don't come back to 2020. Else, like Game of Thrones is on HBO, which we don't watch.
Something else. There's a lot of stuff that's
and
on
then
HBO.
And then it's just like, okay, the UMC channel.
Get
when
that.
I first had UMC, there wasn't a lot of stuff up there, and their streaming wasn't as consistent. Like, you couldn't watch it on your TV. Like, you couldn't the casting from your phone to your TV weren't working. I couldn't find an app for it on the smart TV. And now that they've gotten it together a little bit more because it's a little bit more out there, they have a couple of new shows that I would be interested in watching. And then you got the channel, the streaming service Rain, which has
a lot of good stuff on
it. It has a lot of
a lot
the
of Black and Sexy.
Yeah, a lot of Black and Sexy stuff up there. What else? Oh, it had the, I cannot think of his name, but it's a mental health expert guy. He's like an African dude, but he having famous people come up there, and they pretty much have a therapy session right there on TV. And it also had what was the one thing that I want to say? The Comedians and Cocktails with King Karan. It was his first show before White People ish, and that's up there. And it's like every streaming service has that one little thing that you really, really want
to
see.
But to stream, you gotta have internet.
Right.
And for your smart TV to work, you got to have internet.
So the dilemma that we were thinking at first is just get rid of our cable, keep our internet package the way it is, and then get a couple of little streaming things and subscriptions to certain.
Granted, all those streaming services that you went over, for the most part, outside of Hulu and Netflix, is technically inexpensive. They're not that expensive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if we have,
even Showtime,
even if we get Hulu, Netflix, Showtime, Stars, like, we were thinking if we buy them all individually, it would come out cheaper than keeping the cable.
This is what I was thinking, because the good thing about the shows that come on the premium cable packages or channels, like Stars, Show, and HBO, the shows don't come on at the same time. Of the same season, I guess you could say.
So you can have them seasonally.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people do now anyway.
It is. But it's also just like, my question has always been, is cable worth it? Especially when the internet became like a thing, and you can go and find stuff certain places.
You can definitely
and now that
every show online. My brother does it. He's been doing it for years.
Yeah, and now that like streaming is what it is, and channels are having certain, like you said, like you can just stream Stars by itself. You don't have to get it in a package with six other channels that you probably never gonna watch. Is it even worth it?
I think I'm leaning towards getting rid of it. I really am. Like, I've gotten to the point where I think I'm comfortable with it now. Especially because they got stuff like Sling TV out now.
Yeah.
And you can create your own package.
I grew up without cable.
You're different.
So cable to me, like when we first moved and we were talking about should we keep it or should we not? I was like, get rid of it. Whatever.
And I'm over here like, nigga, you tripping.
But that's because I didn't grow up all my life with
it. I come home and this nigga be watching PBS for the fun of it.
PBS
was the last resort when you...
Bro, PBS has some good independent lens documentaries. PBS,
right, it'd be some good stuff on there.
They Saturday like specials when they be doing DVDs, or you can catch a good opera.
I just watch PBS on half days to watch Bob Ross.
Bob Ross don't even come on PBS, or Henry Louis Gates Jr. when he find your ancestry. I love that stuff.
No, but I be tripping when I not even those shows. I be tripping when I come home and you watching the damn doo-wop.
Bruh, listen.
Commercials, like it's
it be the telethons that they be trying to raise money, and then they play the concert.
And she be in here watching it.
I be.
But then I realize
down.
That's what your family does, because every time I go over there, they got DVDs of concert, and I think that's a Black church people thing, because my great grandparents used to do that.
Why does it have to be church people?
I'm just assuming it based on what
it don't even be gospel DVDs.
No.
Last time, one of my parents' house, my daddy was watching Rihanna.
Like OJs and The Whispers, and that's what I've seen anytime I go over. I didn't see the Rihanna. Granted, your parents like watching concerts in general, but it reminds me.
My dad likes watching concerts. He likes music.
But even when we was at your aunt's house this weekend, we were watching the Stella Awards, and it reminded me of the same time when we just like watching live concert type stuff. When we were with them, and we were just all sitting in front of the television, and we watch it. And it was just like watching the concerts with your people. Then it also reminded me when my great-grandparents, we used to just literally watch the Williams Brothers concert religiously, like it was our first time watching it.
Man, you don't watch concerts together?
Not as much as you probably did with your family.
No, I mean, we watch
award shows.
We watched it. Stella's was an award show.
That's what I'm saying. We watch award shows together, yes.
Okay.
Concerts? No. Like, we watched one DVD of a concert. I think that was the JT thing. And that was just because we was over at your parents' house and your brother was watching it that day.
He wasn't even there.
Oh, was you?
Yeah, I was watching.
That was before we moved in together.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't watch Beyonce Homecoming.
That's different.
It's a concert!
Anyway, let's talk about that now. So... is it Beychella or Beychella?
I told you it's Beychella.
Beychella, okay. Yeah, Beychella Homecoming dropped on Netflix. It's worth it. If you ain't watched it, you lost.
Bruh, I was so...
the Black College Experience in a concert.
I was so confused because I'm used to like her DVDs.
That's what it reminded me of.
That come out and it basically is a documentary. This one was a documentary mixed with the concert. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was just going to be like a documentary of like the casting, cattle calls and...
Usually her concert DVDs be like that though.
The ones that I'm used to watching.
I'm not 100% sure because I felt like my brother was the one that did that. And... it would be one DVD be the concert and then the other one be like the behind the scenes stuff.
Right, which is why I'm saying I thought.
Having it all mixed together.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Beychella. I just can't get it right. Beychella. Netflix, if you ain't seen it, watch it. All right, lastly here, preview to Something in the Water. You're the one that's going, so how you feel about it?
I'm kind of excited.
Kinda?
Yeah.
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
You ain't like super excited?
No.
That Sunday sound lit. I ain't gonna lie. That little lineup for Sunday when you gave me that rollout, I ain't gonna lie, it made me be like, dang, I should have got a ticket.
Yeah, Sunday gonna be cool.
What's the lineup at?
I don't remember it off the top of my head. I just know that the people I'm going with, we already got a Friday in order.
3 days, concerts all through the day, on the beach. It's about to be lit. And I think
They just built a basketball court down there.
Yeah, that joint dope. I think this is about to become a big deal for the East Coast.
When are we dropping this?
Probably going to drop it. I'm going to try to drop it Friday.
Okay. I won't say what I was going to say then.
Okay. Well,
I got a scoop on where a celebrity is staying.
Don't do that.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to say nothing. But that's why I asked when we were dropping it. But I want to know if it's true or not. It probably is, but I don't know.
Are we going to talk about potentially having royalty at Something in the Water?
No.
I think it's going to happen, though.
Everybody down here is like going crazy because allegedly they saw a 444 bus and they trying to speculate that Jay-Z and Beyonce gonna pop up.
Granted, they're here right now, right?
That was what somebody said, but my whole thing is, okay, somebody was like, yesterday I saw that they were at this ice cream dessert diner place
The
city of Norfolk. And I'm just like, if I'm pretty... okay, when Beyonce shops at Target, people take pictures of her.
Right.
Like, you can Google Beyonce.
It would have been something on. Yeah.
You can Google Beyonce in Target and, like, multiple pictures of, like, people, like, sneaking. You can tell because they always be fuzzy and they never really from a good angle. Sneaking pictures of her. If she was in downtown Norfolk, where they said she was, that's right across from a bus station. People would have seen her and people would have took.
The bus station ain't nowhere there no more.
Pictures. No, I mean bus stops. Like, it's a lot of bus stops around the area. I'm like, people would have took those pictures and saw her. And then some other people were saying that, like, it's his college. Like, his college scholarship program that's giving people, that's giving a group of young kids tours of HBCUs. And they was going to be at NSU.
Well, I mean, NSU been having everybody down there. I wouldn't be surprised if they're there. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think this concert about to be a big deal going forward. But anyway, be yawning over here, so she ready to wrap it up.
We're
trying to get the show at a good time now, so yeah. Don't forget to like,
Bruce,
comment, and subscribe.
Work schedule change, so it's kind of
hard, bro. We're trying to get it figured out how we're gonna do this. I don't have the 4/10s anymore. It's 5 days a week now, so I don't have that one day off in the middle of the week to get everything done.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out when can I do this and upload it. I need to upload it like literally tomorrow morning.
Okay. Whatever you think.
It just depends on
music
it.
Major.
Anyway, so say bye to the people.
Bye, y'all.
All right,
I see you looking with your looking ass. Boy, you so late, get out the past. Watching me walk away, you want it back, I know. Heard you been asking my friends about me. Tryna see you rubbing, tryna see you one week. Tryna slide back on the slick, yeah. I know you mad and your feelings, yeah. You was sleeping on the cake, yeah. Now I got you feeling sick, and you madder than a bitch, yeah. Well, you messed up, now you back like a boomerang. Sorry to say, there's nothing you hovering. I let you go, baby, just go away. I hate to say it, but shit ain't the same. Well, you messed up, now you back like a boomerang.